All right, good evening, and thank you all very much for coming out tonight. It's always encouraging when you're the person speaking that there's a good turnout and there's people to speak to, which there usually is, but I think it bears worth repeating. So turn tonight in your Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is probably one of the most well-known passages in the entire Word of God. Probably right up there with the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and other ones like that. It's often called the Shepherd's Psalm. It's a Psalm of David. So if you know about the life of David, you know that he experienced quite a bit of difficulty in his life. So a psalm like this being written by a man who experienced a lot of difficulty is really telling about what we can expect of our Lord. I think if you ever study the life of David, you'll gain a new appreciation for the things that he wrote, the psalms that he wrote. He wrote about half the book of Psalms. And some of these psalms are very telling as far as what he thought of the Lord, his shepherd. And so this is one of them, and probably very well could be the most well-known of all the ones that he wrote. I don't know for sure, but I think it's definitely up there among the most well-known. So we'll start out by reading the 23rd Psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'm going to open us in a word of prayer, and then we'll look at this great Psalm of David. Lord, thank you so much that you are our shepherd. As the New Testament, as you said in Jesus, as you said in your time on earth here, you said, "I am the good shepherd." You'd be the good shepherd who would give his life for the sheep. So that we are the sheep of your pasture. I praise you so much for your great sacrifice for us. I thank you for the 23rd Psalm, which shows us the depth and extent of the care that you have for the sheep of your pasture. Pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. So, the first trouble with understanding this psalm is that this was written to people who understood agriculture and sheep and the raising of them. And we, despite living in Lancaster County, where we have tons of farms all around us, and we see livestock and we see farmland and we see agriculture everywhere, I'd say most of us, especially me, I know very little about agriculture. We don't really understand what goes into the care and maintenance of animals and of fields and of the raising of crops and of keeping livestock healthy and raising them for whether it's meat or wool or milk or whatever it might be that you're raising your livestock for. So Pastor Schweitzer gave me a book that I have really taken an interest in. It's written by a man named Philip Keller, who himself was a shepherd during part of his life. And he gives a very, very unique insider look as to what it's like to be a shepherd and what it means for a shepherd to care for sheep. So first, we should be reminded here that David was a shepherd. Early in his life, before he got, you know, if we want to joke about it, we could say before he got into politics, right? David was a herder of sheep. He kept his father's sheep, and that's actually where he was when they went and got him and said, "Hey, there's this guy who wants to see you, right?" And so he was keeping the sheep. And so David, when he wrote this, you know, he understood what it meant to care for sheep. He was well acquainted with the duties of a shepherd. He knew what it was like to raise sheep, to care for sheep, to feed them, to provide for them. And this man, Philip Keller, he knew as well and wrote a very insightful book about it. And through that, I've learned quite a bit about shepherding sheep and about the care and the raising and the providing for of this particular type of animal. So, for starters here, we're going to look at this pretty much phrase by phrase, and I'm going to try and provide insight as a non-shepherd, right? Someone who's never raised sheep, someone who doesn't really know much about it other than what I've read. I'm going to try and provide insight from him as to what it's like to care for sheep and then how that relates to us, why we can be more thankful than ever, basically, that we have the good shepherd, Jesus Christ the Lord, who is our shepherd and who cares for us. And as we look through this, we'll see that and we'll be, hopefully, be even more thankful for the role he plays in our lives as believers, as sheep of his pasture. So even before I get started with this, let me mention again, the Bible was written to a lot of people who were very familiar with agriculture, and sheep is a common theme throughout the Bible. You know, both of the saved and the lost. You know, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. So that could be the saved or the lost. You know, originally we all went astray, right? But then Jesus also said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. So we know that some sheep go astray. Well, I should say all sheep go astray. And some sheep, though, eventually come back under the care of the good shepherd. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. He also said he's the door to the fold, the sheepfold. He was the one that would keep out the predators, yes, figuratively, of course, the one that would keep out the predators from coming in and attacking and destroying the sheep. And what he said is, he said, the good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. But he said, the one that's a hireling, weird word, we don't really use that today, but he's a hired out guy. He's a guy that was just being paid to be there. When he sees the danger coming, when the wolf comes to attack the sheep, the man who's only in it for the money, who's just there as a hireling, he'll leave because he doesn't really want to fight against the predators. He'll leave and the sheep will be attacked. Whereas Jesus is saying, no, I'm not going to leave you. I'm the good shepherd. I'll stay here and defend the flock. I'm the door of the sheepfold, and I am also the good shepherd who will lay down his life for the sheep. And he did lay down his life for the sheep. So, the Lord is my shepherd. The first phrase, right? The Lord is my shepherd. So to really understand what this means, we have to think about who is the Lord. When we think about it, we know a lot about the Lord from his word. We know he's the creator. The Lord is the creator. He's Lord of all. Right? The Lord is, remember Psalm 145 as we memorized, I think earlier this year or last year. The Lord is gracious and slow to anger. How's it go? The Lord is slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. I think I'm misquoting it. But the bottom line is, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are above all the things that he does. We know that the Lord is, speaking of Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of lords, and he is the King of kings. He's the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. The Lord is a good shepherd to us. And we need to understand who the Lord is. This is not a sermon on who the Lord is, but before thinking about what does it mean for him to be a shepherd, we have to know who is the Lord. And if we are believers in his Son and followers of the same, we will be his followers and we will be his sheep. And he is our Father. We're under God the Father, right? So then we look at this, we see that the Lord is my shepherd. So, of course, this was David writing it. So he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. David's comparing himself to a sheep in the flock of the Lord. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm one of his sheep. So David was understanding that he was not one of those who was still going astray. David was saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And if you're here and you're a believer, the Lord is your shepherd as well. And this is not something that we often think about. We often just think, oh yeah, we're followers of Christ, we're believers, whatever. But when we think about it, the Lord, if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lord is your personal shepherd. He is your shepherd. Now, to those who don't understand much about shepherds, like I did not understand much about shepherds, it may not mean a lot because we don't really understand what is a shepherd, what does a shepherd do? How does a shepherd relate to me? If I'm a sheep, how does a shepherd relate to me? Well, we see that a shepherd is the caretaker of sheep. Okay, probably pretty obvious to most of us, right? But sheep require a lot of care. And this is something I didn't really understand. Sheep, apparently, of all the livestock, require the most time, the most attention, and the most care. They're if you want to say, the most high maintenance of the barnyard animals, right? They're the ones that, if you had to choose one that was going to be difficult, one that was going to be time-consuming, demanding upon your time and energy, it would be the sheep. Sheep are not easy to lead and to care for. So the shepherd has to deal with all these needs of the sheep. Sheep are also, they're easily scared. They are easily disturbed and bothered by small things. So the shepherd is really tasked with making sure the sheep have all their needs met. And the sheep have a lot of needs. And we're going to see more of their needs as we go through this year. We'll see that sheep have a lot of different needs. And we'll talk about the needs as we go through. But first, let's look at the second phrase. So we see that the Lord of creation, the Lord of all, the King of kings, he was David's personal shepherd, his personal caretaker. And if we're believers, God is our shepherd. He is our personal caretaker. And then David wrote, I shall not want. So the word want is an old English word that means to lack or to be in need, to need, right? So when David wrote, I shall not want, we could put this in a more positive way and say, I will not be in need. But in need of what, right? It's, from what I've read, this is a deeper need than just material provision. So yeah, he's saying he's going to have what he needs as far as food, water, and we'll see that in the rest of the psalm, food, water, protection. But it's deeper than just having your physical needs met. It's more about having sufficient care provided. If David here, knowing what it takes to be a shepherd, because David himself was a shepherd, wrote that the Lord is his shepherd, and that he shall not want, he would know exactly that it's more than just physical provision that you need to give sheep. And so David's writing, I shall not want. I'm a part of God's, the Lord's flock. And I shall not want. I'm not going to be in need. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Here is where we start learning a bunch of stuff about sheep. Things that I had no idea about. And it's pretty crazy, you know. We're here in this part of the country, which is very agricultural heavy. And it's amazing that because so many of us don't work in agriculture, we don't really understand anything about it. And you know, I was reading this stuff about sheep, and it just blew my mind. Learned so much. So first of all, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Well, of course, sheep require food. And this, what he said about the food they require is that it takes, especially in the locations of the world where it's best to raise sheep, it takes quite a bit of diligent care and preparation to keep a pasture growing with good grass and maintained well enough so that the sheep will feed and will be nourished from what they're eating there. So the fact that he is lying, he's making David, the sheep, to lie down in green pastures would mean to a degree that the Lord is taking a great amount of care to provide for an environment in which David could be nourished and refreshed. The green pastures are the grass where the sheep eat. And the sheep require this for nutrients. Like, they can get by on other stuff, right? They can get by. But if you want healthy sheep, if you want your flock to be free of disease and you want them to be well nourished, you need to make sure they are in good pastures. And the green pastures are the lush pastures. They're the pastures where the growth is good and where the food is nourishing and where the sheep can eat of the food in safety. He also writes here about these green pastures is that the sheep won't eat if they feel like they're threatened. So if a flock of sheep thinks that they might be under attack by a wolf or by some type of predatory bird or other carnivore animal, right, carnivorous, whatever animal, they will be scared and they won't be at ease and they won't eat. So part of this providing for these green pastures is enabling the sheep to feel a sense of security and the sheep to feel like they're at a point where they can just sit there and enjoy their grass, right? They don't have to worry about, are we going to have to run from a predatory animal at any minute? They feel safe and secure. And another thing that he mentions here is that in order for the sheep to sit down in these green pastures and eat the food and gain the nutrients from this food, they also have to be free from bugs and ticks and flies and all sorts of insects that get on the sheep's wool and irritate them. If a sheep is uncomfortable, if the flock is being pestered by all these insects, they're not going to feel comfortable enough to sit down and graze and eat. So the sheep, when we look here at these green pastures, it's a lot more than just, oh, David said God led him to a food supply. I mean, yes, that's part of it, but there's a lot more involved than just simply providing a food supply. He was saying that God was providing for him the right environment of safety and security that he could eat, just like the sheep require this in order to feel safe and to eat and to be nourished from this food. So we see that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Then he leadeth me beside the still waters. So there's some interesting stuff I learned here too. Again, to reiterate, sheep are often best raised in dry, arid climates where there's not a lot of water. And he said that sheep can often go for long periods of time without drinking water. And one of the ways that the sheep are able to do this is because they like to feed on the grass early in the morning before the sun comes up, before dawn. They like to go out and they like to eat the wet grass, and there's dew on the grass. And the sheep will eat that grass, and the dew from the grass will provide water to them, and this will enable sheep to go longer periods of time without drinking from a water source. And that's one of the things that he mentioned. But another thing is that eventually the sheep are going to need a water source. Even though this flock could go a long time just eating the grass, taking the dew off the grass, and being, taking in water that way, that at some point they're going to need a water source. And the sheep are going to require a clean water source. They need still waters, not as in stagnant. And this is one of the ways where you got to be pretty specific here. Still waters doesn't have the idea of a pond that's stagnant and sitting there with filthy algae and nasty stuff growing all over it. The still waters are calm waters, but they're still going to be flowing enough that the water is pure and clean. So when the sheep drink that water, they're not going to get bacteria and things in their system that are going to cause harm to them. So when he says he leads them to the still waters, he's providing the water that the sheep need. And David is saying, my Lord, who is my shepherd, is leading me beside the still waters. So just like a sheep can drink from the still clean waters when they're thirsty and in need to hydrate, he's saying that I'm able to hydrate as well. And it's interesting because even though David didn't have the New Testament, if you look at what Jesus the Lord said in the New Testament, he said, I am the bread of life. And he also said, I am the living water. And he that drinks from the source of water that I provide will never thirst again. Jesus said he provides the living water and from which you will not thirst again. So it's very interesting to see back here in Psalm 23, pre-New Testament, where David, not knowing that, writes about the Lord leading him like a sheep to the still waters where he can drink and be refreshed. So the sheep require that, and he also mentioned that sometimes it's very painstaking work if the sheep are thirsty and the shepherd does not have a place to take them for the still waters, the clean waters. He may have to go to a well and do it the old school way and just like bring up the water to feed the sheep. And he said it's very tiring work. It's very hot because you're out under the sun. You know, wells generally aren't located in the best places. They're often, especially in the Middle East, out in the middle of nowhere in the beating sun, in the harsh climate. And so it's a lot of work for the shepherd, whether he's providing for the sheep by leading them to the still waters or he's providing for the sheep by bringing water up out of the ground by a well. Regardless, it's going to be work for the shepherd to provide the water that the sheep need. So we'll move on to verse 3. And he says, "He restoreth my soul." And this one I thought was possibly the most interesting of all of them. I didn't know exactly what this meant, but he compared this to a sheep that has fallen on its back and can't get up. I'll explain a little bit about this. I didn't know anything about this. I do remember Pastor way back when speaking about this, and I do remember this to some extent. But a sheep is not really an athletic animal, right? It's top heavy. It's very slow, and it moves very slow and methodically. And its coat weighs it down a lot. The wool is heavy. So if a sheep becomes too large, whether because it's been eating too much or because it has a lamb that it is getting ready to give birth to a lamb, or if the sheep becomes too weighed down because its wool coat has too much of the surrounding environment, whatever that may be, dirt, briars, thorns, whatever gets entangled in the sheep's wool. If the sheep becomes too heavy, it's very easy for the sheep to topple over. And he said that this can happen by either they misstep, like they're walking on uneven ground and they misstep and they roll over. Or it can happen when a sheep decides it's time to take a break and they basically sit down on their legs and they kind of like rest up against something on the side, like a little depression in the ground. They lay down on it, they kind of lean into it. And if the sheep isn't careful, and if he rolls over onto its side, the sheep will often panic and start flailing its legs, which will cause it then to roll over on its back. And this is called getting cast. Not exactly sure why. Maybe because cast immobilizes something. If I have a cast on my arm, it's immobilized. Well, when a sheep goes on its back, it's pretty much immobilized. And it makes this sheep very vulnerable to predators. And the other thing about this is when a sheep is cast, it will eventually die if it's not turned back up on its feet. This is something the sheep can't do for itself. It's not like a cat. Like, if you've ever seen, like, these athletic cats in the jungle, like, they go on their back and just, like, leap off, right? Well, a sheep does not have that ability. So not only is it vulnerable to predators, but you also have the sheep that will eventually die because the blood is going to move out of its legs and hooves, and it's going to move down into the inner part of the sheep, and it's going to become even stiffer. And the sheep is basically, within a few hours, he said, depending on the heat, depending on the circumstances of the environment, the sheep either has a few hours or a few days to live in that condition, won't survive. And so he uses this example of restoring, David saying that he restoreth my soul, to show about how a shepherd goes and he restores a cast sheep back onto its feet. And he said it's so important that a shepherd keeps careful count of all of his sheep, because if at any point he notices that one is missing, it could mean that somewhere he has a sheep that has fallen over, rolled onto its back, and it can't get up. And so this cast sheep, obviously he won't be able to see it. It won't be counted among the number of his flock. He needs to go look for that sheep immediately, because if he doesn't find it within the period of time where it can survive, it's going to die. And obviously, he doesn't want that for a number of reasons. And another thing interesting about a cast sheep here is he says that when he would first, and this is Keller writing, by the way, David didn't say this, but Philip Keller, who wrote the book, said that when he would first come to a cast sheep that was on his back and couldn't get up, and he would pick the sheep up and put it back on his feet. If it had been on his back for too great a length of time, since all the blood had moved out of the limbs of the sheep would just fall back again. It wouldn't even be able to stand when put back upright because it was, and imagine if your all the blood, it was stopped going into your legs for 20 minutes. And after 20 minutes, you tried to stand up on your 2 feet, and you had no blood in your feet and legs. It wouldn't work out very well. I've already woken up in the middle of the night when my arm was asleep, and because my arm had been asleep for so long, as I lifted my arm, I actually hit myself in the face as my arm came back down because I had no control over this limb. And so the sheep that is placed back on its feet with no circulation going down into its extremities is just going to fall back over again. And Keller said that literally as a shepherd, he would pick the sheep up, he would put it on its feet, and he would have to like hold it there and sometimes even massage the sheep's legs in order to get the blood flow to return to the sheep again so that it could stand on its, I guess we could say it's on four legs in the case of a sheep, but it's on four legs, set that sheep back up, right? And he said this could go on for a period of time. It could take a while. It could take a period of time before that cast sheep that he restored would be able to stand again on its own legs and be able to walk around and function. So he said, this restoring of the soul, think about us as believers, where we would be in our Christian lives if we didn't have God, the Lord, the Good Shepherd, to come and restore us when we've fallen on our backs and can't get back up again. I mean, spiritually and otherwise, people tend to fall on their backs a lot, right? And, you know, some more than others, some to a greater extent than others, some for longer periods of time than others, but we all fall on our backs at times. And if we don't have the Good Shepherd who's counting the sheep to know, hey, there's one that's missing, let's go look for it. Of course, God knows where we are, right? The shepherd doesn't have that, you know, ability to know exactly where the cast sheep is. But God knows where we are at all times, can come and find us right away, restore our soul, put us back on our feet, and that way we are able to continue. So a great, great analogy by Keller, the writer of the book. And then the final phrase we're going to look at tonight says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Another interesting thing about sheep is that they're creatures of habit, and that if left to themselves, the sheep will travel the same, like one, like several paths over and over and over again and eat at the same spots over and over and over again. And it's bad for a number of reasons. First of all, let's start with the eating. So it's bad that the sheep eat at the same spot all the time because they will eat the grass and eat the grass and eat the grass and eat the grass and eat the grass until it's down to the root. And then he said he's even seen instances where the roots get kicked up out of the ground. The sheep are even eating those too. So what happens is eventually the sheep will destroy the area because they've overeaten from that one spot that they like to eat. And so they're no longer able to go feed there, and they've destroyed that section. He also said about the paths, sometimes what will happen is when sheep disturb the dirt over and over and over again, because you got these little sheep hooves kicking up the dirt and they walk these same paths over and over, oftentimes that will allow insects that dwell in the ground to be able to come up and to get on the sheep's wool. And just like the sheep don't like to sit down and eat when they're being pestered by insects and other like parasites and stuff, the sheep will be more prone to picking those up if they're walking the same paths of dirt that the insects are going to be coming up out of, because you no longer have the grass. You now have this dirt, which certain insects, I guess, prefer, especially in this climate. So he said the good shepherd, the diligent shepherd, will actually move the flocks of sheep periodically around. They'll move them from pasture to pasture, because they don't want any one pasture to become overfed by the sheep. They don't want any one area to get destroyed by sheep and their habits, right? To continually go to the same places over and over again, whether it's walking or eating or whatever it is that they're doing. They're continuing to go to the same spots, and they're damaging these green pastures, which are hard to produce, especially in the Middle East. They're very hard to produce. So this idea is that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David was saying, just like he as a shepherd led his sheep in the correct paths so that they would rotate the fields where they ate and the pastures where they spent their time, he's saying that God led him in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he said that this idea of the namesake can also be compared to the fact that a shepherd who cares for his sheep, his flock of sheep well, he will have a good reputation, right? The shepherd will have a good reputation in that people will see, okay, he has a healthy flock. He has a flock of sheep that's doing well. They're well fed, they're well maintained, they're healthy. The wool is cut when it needs to be cut. They're not being pestered by insects. They're not being preyed upon by animals that want to eat them. And he's saying that that will make him have a good name, a good reputation among other sheep herders, right? And other shepherds. And he said the same thing goes with the Lord here. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So it's like just like the shepherd who has a healthy flock that is well cared for and well maintained is going to have a good reputation among other shepherds, among other herders of sheep. The Lord is going to have among people a good reputation for his care of the sheep of his pasture. And he will be praised for leading his sheep in the paths of righteousness for his great name's sake. So, for the sake of time, we're going to stay with the first three here. But I just want to reiterate, the care of the sheep is really, really crucial. He said that much of the fate, the plight, the situation, right, of a sheep and of a flock is dependent on one thing. And that is how well, how efficiently, how well the shepherd cares for the flock and their environment. He said that neighboring shepherds, when he was a shepherd, neighboring shepherds would often have people who were hired out to come in and to care for their sheep. And he said it was not uncommon, basically, for these to be just kind of like the New Testament, John chapter 10 talks about the hireling, right, who comes in and who's just there for the money. It was not uncommon for the flocks of those people to not do very well. The sheep would be in much poorer health. They would be pestered by insects. They would not have as good of pastures to feed on. They wouldn't be rotated as much. They wouldn't be led as well. And so what he's really saying is the plight of the sheep, the situation that the sheep find themselves in, is largely dependent upon the care of the shepherd. And what better thought for all of us than to know that our shepherd is none other than the Lord, the good shepherd who laid down his life for us, the sheep. And we are the sheep of his pasture. And I love also in Psalm 95 where it says about the Hebrews, it says that he leadeth his people as a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. It's one of the great, great verses about people being led by the hand of God, by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So we'll look at these last three verses. I think the next time will probably be December 13th, just for different reasons. But we'll look at the next three verses the next time and encourage each one of us to be grateful for and to recognize the great care that we receive from the Lord who is our shepherd. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that we can call you our shepherd. Thank you that you're the good shepherd, the shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, the one who continues to provide for us and protect us. Pray that you would bless the preaching of your word, Lord. You said your word will never return void. Pray that it would not return void tonight either. I pray that we would recognize that as your sheep, we must be obedient to you, the shepherd, and follow your leading. I pray that you give each one of us the ability, Lord, to know your voice. Jesus, you said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And Lord, we should follow you. And I pray that we would follow you as good followers of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.